This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome to Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. We start with a special edition of our Odyssey series, I'm Listening, focusing on suicide prevention over the holidays.
Welcome to a special presentation of I'm Listening. Today, we speak with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention about something so many of us can relate to, dealing with stress and loss around the holidays. Here's Katie Neal.
Today, we are talking with the Chief Medical Officer from the AFSP, Dr. Christine Moutier, about mental health surrounding the holidays. Thank you so much for joining us for this.
Thank you so much for having me and for focusing on this important topic.
Yes, it's so important. I feel like the holidays are such a joyful time of year, but they also come with their own special kind of stress. I feel like it's a time where your emotions, good or bad, kind of feel heightened. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, there's kind of like a lot more to do just from a task list standpoint. I think the layers of this are that for some people, there's actually some family history, possibly even trauma. It can be a time where people don't have family or positive people and friends to connect with. And so then a person's sense of loneliness and isolation can actually be accentuated. I think there can be just a plain old mismatch between the expectations that society kind of presents, or maybe we even build up in our own head about how they're going to feel, how we're going to feel during the holidays. And so even under kind of the best of circumstances, it can just be, you know, taxing and extra stressful.
Yeah, that mix match that you mentioned is interesting because I do feel like there is this pressure to be extra cheery around the holidays. And it's, we always say it's okay to not be okay, but you don't really hear it's okay to not be okay, even if it's Christmas. You know what I mean? Like sometimes some people just need to know that because you feel out of sync with the world when it seems like everybody else is holly and jolly and having a great time. And you're like, I'm just not really there.
Yes. I think also this time frame, not just being the holidays, but just thinking about the last several years and where we are as a society, I almost feel sometimes like we haven't fully recovered in our brain health, our just, you know, ability to breathe and be grounded and be present and thinking of others and have grace and sense of humor, like all of those resilience parts that are part of all of our makeup, but they got taxed on in a new way during those COVID years. And I don't know when we'll stop harkening back to them.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I do feel like our distractibility and our level of just overall, I don't know, the sense of kind of our time and our energy being taxed in a way that hasn't let up. It just really, for me, it's a personal call to action for myself and for all of us to just kind of take a minute, you know, reflect on that, because to be honest, I think each person has it within themselves, their own knowledge of what works for them to bring them back to a real sense of center, grounding, to actually affirm our own identity, even with the hardships that might be going on in our lives. I think, you know, the holidays layered on top of that already kind of like distraction level life that we tend to live, you know, maybe, you know, I'll say it, it, I do feel that it's maybe it'll, for some of us, be a time where we can actually make that extra moment. Because again, it's not necessarily about the time it would take. It's the intentionality to just figure out our little plan for just taking a moment, breathing, connect with that person who you know is a positive influence. You know, kind of in a way, it's just instead of a passive letting the status quo of life kind of run the show, a little more proactivity on our parts.
Absolutely. I love to be able to give people tools when we're talking about mental health and just thinking about the amount of stress that people feel around the holidays. What are just, you know, really simple, easy practices people can implement to get through the holiday season?
Well, I would say start with think about yourself and what you know of your whole lifetime of memories and experience. And just think of a time when you felt like your most healthy self. And maybe think back to what were some of the factors going on that might have helped that moment to be that way for you. And so, you know, there's human universal things that work for the vast majority of us that have to do with central nervous system regulation, things like breathing techniques, mindfulness, meditation. Now, meditation can look different for different people because you might not be someone who is prone to being able to kind of sit still. And yet there are still techniques to be able to bring you into center. And that's not just like thoughts, ethereal thoughts coming to center. That is an actual physiological grounding in our cells of our body and our brain that happen when we do something as simple as a box breathing technique for a couple of minutes. So, you know, think about what are those universal techniques, maybe some you haven't even tried yet that you could give a try. And then think about what are the quirky ways that make you you, that you're unique and that bring you your own unique way of coming to center. I mean, honestly, for some people, it could be knitting, it could be chopping wood, it could be a certain type of music that you listen to, or again, those certain people in your life where you know that's how you'll feel when you're around them. So yeah, I mean, and there's so many things, but you know, I think the one thing I will also say to everybody, don't underestimate the power of something like psychotherapy or coaching or connecting with a mentor, something that really could kind of take it to next level where there's an outside person helping you along your journey. Because there are these, you know, tools and techniques that are sort of like one-offs or brief, you know, scattered throughout the week. But then there are things like therapy or coaching that can actually take us on a journey that's a little bit more along the weeks to months, even years time frame of how we pay attention and prioritize our mental health.
Anxiety is another emotion that I think regarding mental health people feel around the holidays, sometimes specifically around being with family, right? Being with your family members can be so exciting and so fun. And sometimes it can, you know, add to your anxiety, especially with, you know, conflict within families around the holidays. How do you think about that and how people could deal with that?
Yeah, I think that there's so many things. Again, we might assume that the really stressful, some people might even call them kind of toxic relationships, are kind of obligatory. Like we don't have any control over the way they go. And the level of control that you do have is something to really think about, because there may be things that are outside our control. But don't assume that you're powerless to setting certain limits, whatever those might be. It could be the amount of time you spend. It could be setting up clear expectations on the key individuals in the family's parts about what is going to transpire. Because let's face it, none of us were, or most of us were not trained in like communication skills and proactive communication, especially in families. You know, families have a special way of they go how they go. Again, think about the things that are might tend to be sort of hotspots and ways that you might be able to set up in advance, even if it's just setting your own expectations a little differently. I will say, for myself, I found that I'm able to just be present and engaged and enjoy the good parts of time spent together because of, well, probably a combination of all these things I'm mentioning in terms of some proactivity, taking some control over boundaries, and then resetting my own expectations and kind of like being grateful for the healthy parts of the relationship that are there.
I think that's amazing. And that's such wonderful advice for people to think about. I also want to touch on the holidays and loss, because whether you have recently lost someone or you previously lost someone around the holidays, that is just, I think it's a very complicated emotion for people to be going through at this time of the year.
Very complicated. You're so right about that. And, you know, loss is something that all of us will experience if we haven't yet. So it is that kind of ubiquitous part of the human experience, losing someone you love. And loss can mean and encompass things more than the death of someone. Obviously, it could be a change in a relationship or a breakup or you know, any number of things, animals in our life, change in roles, expectations that we thought would be our lives would be a certain way and things change. Those are all different kinds of losses. So, you know, I think what I've learned from our suicide loss community is loss survivors are really incredible and strong and walking through moment to moment, day by day. And then in their journey of healing, they learn lots of things about what has worked for them. Connecting with other loss survivors is one of the most powerful tools. And those can be through support groups or just finding, you know, finding people that where you can talk much more openly. Another thing that I've heard really helpful, and we've done this ourselves as a family, is scrapping old traditions, as hard as that might be, and go somewhere and do something totally different. And maybe talk together as a family so that it's not feeling just like a loss of tradition, but an intentional setting of some new things. Because I think ritual is really important. It grounds us. But during times of loss, it can actually accentuate the grief and the pain of the loved one who isn't there during an otherwise, you know, similar setting. So really kind of being open to some adventure and mixing it up. That is something
that's so great.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think like tradition, ritual, you have to do it, have to do it. And it's like, sometimes you have to reevaluate and reassess. And is this serving us in the best, healthiest way? And so I think being open to, you know, like you said, being up for adventure is a good way to look at it. I also feel like as we think about, you know, how this time of year can be really complicated with grief, is that guilt is a feeling that a lot of people can feel around the holidays after loss. Is like, how could I possibly let myself be happy and enjoy this when I'm grieving?
Yeah. Gosh, that's just super common. And in fact, I just encountered a colleague last night who was struggling with that very thing. You know, I think just giving yourself permission to feel all of it, because grief will bring about a whole mixture of emotions. But realizing that you making steps to be as healthy as you can be, allow yourself all of it again, and that can include moments of joy and humor, that is not detracting from your honoring of your loved one. That is not at all. In fact, if you really think about what they would want, it's very likely they would want you to be engaging, enjoying, you know, living to the fullest. So it won't take away from your grief journey. And in fact, I think kind of being brave enough to not only feel the pain and sadness and longing, but to allow yourself to be surprised by moments of joy is wonderful.
Absolutely. Dr. Moutier, thank you so much for your time, your effort, your expertise on this. I know that this is going to be helpful to a lot of people as we head into the holiday season and we're all individually tackling mental health and trying to stay our best self and enjoy the holidays. So thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Katie. Always great to talk with you.
Find out more about Odyssey's commitment to mental health awareness at imlistening.org. If you or someone you know is in crisis and in need of mental health services, call or text 988 and find more resources from our partners at afsp.org. The holidays can be a challenging time for those who've lost loved ones to suicide. International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day brings survivors of suicide loss together to find connection, understanding, and hope through their shared experience. This year's Survivor Day is Saturday, November 22nd. To learn more, to find an event near you, or to join a virtual event, visit afsp.org/Survivor Day.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Now, on this special presentation of I'm Listening, with Veterans Day just in the rearview mirror, we chat with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention about prioritizing mental health for those who serve or have served. Here's Dave Glover.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Odyssey, to I'm Listening. My name is Dave Glover. I'm going to be your host. I do the Dave Glover Show in St. Louis on KMOX. Been doing it for 25 years. And we're going to be talking about veterans affairs and especially suicide prevention tonight. Something that's very near and dear to my heart because in 2002, on Christmas Eve, I lost my brother Keith to suicide, who had served in the U.S. Army in the early 70s. So since then, and especially since I never served a day myself, it's been very important to me to do what I can to help out veterans, especially those who are having suicidal ideations. My guest today is Kevin Hurdle. He's a former aircraft maintainer in the Air Force. He's lost multiple airmen through his time in service, which led him to create Veteran Suicide Awareness and Remembrance Flag Corporation, also known as SAR Flag Family. Kevin, so nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me, and condolences on your loss.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And it's something that, I mean, we're going back now over 20 years, but it's something that at the time, I wasn't that involved with Veteran Affairs. Like I said, I never served. I didn't know about the problem with suicides until my brother. And then once I looked into it, there was just so much information there. It was overwhelming. So let's start out. If you could just tell us a little bit about your time with the Air Force and situations that maybe led you to where you are today.
I was an F-16 crew chief, which means I was a maintainer, a jet mechanic, basically. I served during 9/11. I got out and I struggled acclimating back to being a civilian. And then in 2016, my cousin, Senior Airman Robert Dean, U.S. Air Force, he died by suicide. It was at that time I became painfully aware of the 22 a day, and I didn't know about that previously. And I kind of felt embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't know about it. But like I said, I was struggling myself. And so I then spent 2 years reading and researching everything I could get my hands on, trying to understand why this was happening to our brothers and sisters and what, if anything, I could do about it. And in that time, I lost another cousin to suicide, Clay Free. He was a civilian, but he died almost a year later. And what a lot of people don't know or may not know is that when somebody dies in your family by suicide, the immediate family members, if they're struggling, they can also die by suicide. And that's what happened to Clay. But I kept coming back to the stigma that exists within our community, our warrior culture. And that's why I wanted to create a symbol. I decided on creating a symbol in which later became the SAR flag, but that led to our mission, which is to break the stigma of mental health, suicide, and seeking treatment within our warrior culture to facilitate suicide prevention for our veterans and military.
Kevin,
so that's how I kind of got to that.
One thing that I've learned over the past couple of decades being involved in this is it's intuitive to think that, sure, if you see heavy combat, it's going to affect you in such a way to lead to PTSD, which could lead to suicidal ideations, which could lead to taking your own life. But it's not just war fighters. It's not just combat people. And that's something I've learned over the years. And that's a very important point.
Yeah, I mean, we did one of the primary ways in which my organization breaks the stigma is via our remembrance ceremonies. And we present an SAR flag to their surviving family members of those who've lost a loved one to suicide. That's a whole nother thing. But the reason why I mentioned that is we did a remembrance ceremony for a cadet who was in the Air Force, and he was still going through training, and it can affect you. A lot of people who come in might have pre-existing health conditions that can be exacerbated by military service. And I think during COVID, a lot of people now understand, after having the lockdowns, just being isolated affects your mental health detrimentally in such a way that could lead to a crisis, and without intervention can lead to death. So it affects everyone. You don't have to be a combat veteran. Just being in the military, it can exacerbate pre-existing conditions or create conditions that could lead to a crisis, which could then lead to death without intervention.
So, Kevin, let's talk a bit about some of the contributing factors to veteran suicide and some of the protective factors. What are some of the things, if we can go drill down a little deeper, about service across the board that connects a direct line to someone having suicidal ideations at a later time?
From my experience, our training, I mean, we're trained from day one. We have some of the best training in the world. We have in the Air Force, it was called self-aid buddy care, where if your arm is blown off, I know how to tourniquet and stop the bleeding. And I know how to a sucking chest wound. I know how to put a credit card there and tape 3 sides so the air can go out, but it can't get in. You won't drown in your own blood. I know all these medical things, but when it came to mental health, they trained us to downplay it, dismiss it, diminish it, or just push through. I mean, we had patches that said embrace the suck. And so the mentality in our warrior culture is just to push through it. And so the reason for suicide varies as much as the individual. But the two things that I kept coming back to in my experience and I've seen across the board is isolation and hopelessness. And I think that mentality in our warrior culture to just push through it does not serve us well. And that's one area or aspect of our training that's not, you know, it's leading to people's death. And I think when I talk to the military and especially leadership, I always try and get them to focus on mental health as physical health. A mentally healthy warrior is a mission-ready warrior, and this is something that we should pay more attention to. And that's also the stigma that's surrounding it. You know, if we focus on breaking that stigma and allowing people to simply talk about it and utilizing the services that are available, it can equal saving lives.
So, Kevin, an analogy here, like my company I work for has rules for the whole company and edicts. And then I have my buddies who I'm in the trenches with every day doing the show. And we have our own little rules and our own conversations. In your experience, is it like that in the military, that the military may say, downplay it, embrace the suck, but between the guys, between the soldiers, between the airmen and the Marines, are there more candid conversations while deployed about mental health?
Well, if you talk to your leadership up front, they'll say, hey, talk about it. And, you know, when they're under the spotlight, you know, we support mental health. But then when you're actually in theater or you're in operational service, and, you know, even from my own experience, you get a briefing, which is like a suicide briefing or a suicide prevention briefing, which kind of checks the box for them and lets them move on to, you know, getting back to work. And they tell you, you know, if a clinician comes in, don't tell them you're drinking. Don't tell them you're suicidal. Don't tell them you're depressed. Just get back to work, you know, shut the heck up and get back to work, which is a nice way of saying it. But peer-to-peer support is the greatest. And that's in the military, you have that. And we do talk about the tough things with each other because we're brothers and sisters and we're like family. And when you're serving, you might join to serve the country, but when you're serving to the, you know, for the person next to you, in front of you, and behind you. And that's one of the things that really hurts veterans, is because we don't have that anymore. And you just go from having this community and this purpose and people you can talk to candidly to just nothing. And the transition period is really rough. And I was talking to an Army, active duty Army the other day, because we partner with active duty whenever we can. I said, look, brother, he said he's getting out soon. I said, look, brother, just so you know, there's a community out there for you, but you got to go find it. It's not going to come to you. And once you do find it, it'll be there for life. And so I think the what we have in the military, we need to focus on creating a community when we get out so we can have those candid conversations. Because like I said, peer-to-peer is the best.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to I'm Listening. We're talking about veteran affairs and specifically veteran suicide. My name is Dave Glover. I'm the host. And my friend Kevin Hurdle here is a former aircraft maintainer. And we're talking about his time in the service and afterwards. Want to acknowledge American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and Talk Saves Lives, supporting our veterans. Talk Saves Lives, supporting our veterans, is a one-hour presentation available in person or virtually, designed to help audiences learn about the impact of suicide among veterans, along with practical ways to recognize warning signs for suicide, navigate tough conversations, and connect veterans to support in ways that respect their autonomy. Speaking of that, Kevin, from your personal experience, what are some of the warning signs that you have seen in your brothers and sisters or heard about, so that people who are listening, whose family members may be going through this, may know what to look for?
That's a tough answer. And I think definitely if anybody wants to know how to get up to speed, how to serve our community better, definitely try and find an AFSP local to you and get the Talk Saves Lives, supporting our veterans experience, because that will help you and not only let you know resources, but to identify ideations and more. But some of the things from my experience, you know, you never know. It's the people who are the happiest. You got to check in on them too. You know, they might be putting a front up, or, you know, a good face on if they seem like they're doing great, especially if they've been doing poorly or they have a stretch of where they seem depressed and then all of a sudden they're really happy and they feel like everything's going great. Check in on them, because they might be feeling happy because they have plans to take their life. And so that gives them some kind of freedom from the pain that they're feeling. But it's rough. You know, giving things away is one of the ways you can tell if people are just really disconnected, or if they're actually talking about it. If they say, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm here anymore, or I feel like a burden. There's really a lot of ways, but I highly suggest the Talk Saves Lives and checking that out. I actually feel very proud and honored to be a part of that program. We have been working with National. I'm a board member of the Long Island chapter for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And I've been working with AFSP since April on this Talk Saves Lives. And I got to tell you, the first time I gave it to a group so we could get feedback to help, you know, its pilot to help launch, it's spot on, man. It really affected me and I got emotional. There was a couple of times where I had to stop because I related to the material so much. And so I really am thankful to be a part of this and have the opportunity to serve our community, because at the end of the day, it means saving the lives of our brothers and sisters. And that's who I care about.
Yeah, it's so true, Kev. What you're saying about things that triggered you during the presentation, not that you did anything wrong, but that just happened to me while you were speaking. We had put two and two together, but my brother took his life on Christmas Eve 2002, and he was estranged from the family, and I had spoken to him, you know, a little bit over the months leading up to it, and he was very depressed and he was very down. and took his own life. Later, a couple weeks later, we found a girlfriend. He was living in Tucson, Arizona, and she told us all about it. And she said, well, the weirdest thing is that Keith was so depressed and such a dark figure. And then about a week before he did it, I've never seen a happier guy. And he was light and he was effusive. And I just put two and two together that he had made that decision. So what you're talking about theoretically happened in my life in reality. So that's something that people really need to be keen to.
Yeah, that's tough to deal with. And I'm really sorry that your family had that loss. And I'm sorry that happened to your brother. And you know, I've been there myself. And a lot of times we look for a lifeline and we look for a reason. And if we don't find that, you know, and it's just, I want people to understand that when people are having these ideations, they're not in their right state of mind. And all they feel is pain. And they're just looking for a release of this pain. And if we can get to them in that moment or before they get to that moment, and just remind them that there's community, that there's resources. And if we can help them get through it, it's just rough. You know, every day we lose 20 plus of our brothers and sisters. And that's why I've dedicated my life to suicide, because I don't want any families like yours or like mine to get that news that they lost a loved one to suicide. It's just tough. But I think it's something, the thing that gives me hope is that it can be preventable. And when we have talk shows like this, or when we get together and talk like this, we're moving it from the darkness and into the light and making it okay to talk about and have people understand that it's okay not to be okay. You don't have to stay there. You know, we can get through this together. And I really hope we can underscore that for anyone who's struggling. I hope this reaches someone. And I think it will. It always does. I believe that it's going to reach someone who might be struggling. And this, just hearing this, could be the reason, you know, see our brothers and sisters coming together, because we're not alone. You know, we all struggle, but we can get through it. I've gotten through it. I got the tools I needed to not only survive, but to thrive and get back to being who I am. And that's why I want to share this story as much as I can, because this isn't something unique to me. This is a struggle that others have gone through, that I've seen my brothers and sisters get through, which provided hope, because if they can get through it, that means I can get through it. And if I can get through it, you can get through it. We can get through it together and be better on the other side.
Kevin, just a couple minutes left here in our program. Let's talk about one final thing. For anyone out there who is in this place and you have had suicidal ideations, I have been there. I have dealt with my own mental struggles, and I find that talking about it openly on the air in front of thousands of people has helped me. But as a survivor of my brother's suicide, and you have survived several, let's take a minute and talk about the impact it has on survivors, because it's not a natural death and it doesn't leave a natural wound.
No. Well, for me, when my first cousin died, it was just like, you know, you get all the questions, why did this happen? And you get mad. I was mad at it. You know, like, why would you do this? And I didn't understand it at first. And it was just something that never leaves you. It was like a splinter in my mind. But along my journey, when I found out that it can be prevented, it just turned all that, what felt like infinite sadness to me, into hope. And hope inspires action, and action gives us the reason for hope. And so, you know, I just would like to focus on building community and letting our brothers and sisters know, and even the civilian population know as well, that this is something that you can get through. And for me, myself, if I would have succumbed to what I call my demons, there is so much I would have missed out on. I have a beautiful family now. I have a son. I have a wife. I never thought I could find anyone that would put up with me, you know. And I have a beautiful wife. I have a daughter. I have a family. These are things I have a very humble background, which is just to say, you know, we were poor and not in the greatest neighborhood. But if you just stick around, you never know where your life is going to go, and you don't know who you can impact along the way. And that's really helped me along the way, is staying busy with volunteering for the AFSP, for SAR, the organization I run, and just volunteering in general. There are many organizations for our veterans and military that you can find in your local communities. And when you, one of the things that I didn't know that I experienced, and I almost felt selfish in the beginning, when you help others, when you lift others, you actually lift yourself up. And it's a great feeling. And it just helps strengthen my resolve to continue on this mission.
For anyone out there who is struggling mentally, whether you served or you did not, there are resources. People care. Reach out to a friend. Reach out to clergy. Go to AFSP.org. If you are a veteran, avail yourselves of Talk Saves Lives, supporting our veterans. Kevin, it was a privilege and a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for today.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to serve. I appreciate it.
Find out more about Odyssey's commitment to mental health awareness at imlistening.org. If you or someone you know is in crisis and in need of mental health services, call or text 988 and find more resources from our partners at afsp.org.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
And joining us right now is my favorite mental wellness suicide prevention expert, Ms. Fonda Bryant. Fonda, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Chris? You staying warm?
Trying to stay warm here in Texas. And by the way, I know that you're doing a special thing for police officers right now. Are you baking for them?
Yes, yes. Charlotte, I'm telling you, we've turned into the Wild West. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I train rookie officers in suicide prevention training, and people just don't really realize what police officers go through on a daily basis. They don't have a regular job. They deal with trauma all day long. So I decided for every division to make a cake for police officers. And today I'm taking one to the North Division, and they're all excited about it. So if I can bring a little bit of joy to officers, you know, especially this time of year and what they're dealing with, then it just makes my day. So that's one of the things I try to do, is bring a little sunshine and happiness to these police officers that serve our community so well.
Fantastic. We love the work that you do. And I want to ask you this, because you've talked on the show several times about how your own life was saved. They had to come and get you and take you away because you did not want to believe that you were going to be, you know, taking your own life. And how did they find out? So my question for you is, during the holidays, how do you feel these days? And what do you do to keep yourself in a very good mood, since you've lived through all of this yourself?
Well, for one thing, I just try to take one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is I always tell people we can only control what we can control. I can't control what's going on in Washington. I can't control, you know, some of the horrible things that are going on. Mm-hmm. But what I can control is my life, you know, by taking care of myself. And one thing I always tell people is during this time of year, to stick to your routine. You know, you might go to a party here or there, go spend time with family. But one, people ask me all the time what it was like to be in a psychiatric hospital. And I said, there are two things different from a psychiatric hospital to a regular hospital. And one of those is being very structured. We were very structured when I was in the hospital. We did everything every day at the same time. And so that's what I try to do. Mm-hmm. I try to keep my life very structured, going to the gym at the same time, eating breakfast at the same time. It's something about structure that keeps our mental health in check. So for me, I'm very aware. And see, not only is this the holiday season, which doesn't really bother me that much, but see, it's also leading into how I was feeling 30 years ago when I almost died by suicide. Mm-hmm. Because in another week, Chris, they're going to have Valentine's candy in the grocery stores and in stores. And when I see that, it takes me back to how I was struggling from probably about now, mm-hmm. all the way through up until Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1995. So I just make myself very aware of where, you know, of where I am and what's going on, and just try to keep my schedule and keep doing those good coping skills that is helping me through every single day.
I love the way you put that. And I love the fact that you stress structure, because I think that's so important. And I think structure also leads to those who have a purpose-driven life. In other words, I think a lot of people may not feel like they have a purpose or they're searching for a purpose. And I know right now you personally have a purpose. I know what your purpose is. You want to share that again, which is helping save other people's lives as well.
Yes. I mean, it just breaks my heart when I get the news, because for some reason, people tend to reach out to me and tell me when someone dies by suicide. But I can always tell by the way the media writes a story that it's a suicide. Died mm-hmm. suddenly, no car accident, no murder, no health issues. And it just really breaks my heart, because for me, 30 years ago, when my Aunt Spanky, when I called her and told her she could have my shoes, it really set off a chain reaction of who I am today. Because we hung up the phone and she could have said, my nickname is Tweety. She could have just said, Tweety's having a bad day. I'll just leave her alone. Mm-hmm. But she knew something was wrong. And she called me back and was able to save my life by asking me, are you going to kill yourself? And I said, yes. And she leaped into action like a superhero. So she set the tone of who I am now. And then in 2014, when I almost came to that same conclusion again, that I'm worthless, nobody's going to care, my son gave me a nice kick in the butt and said, Mom, you can help people. I know you can. So for me, it is very personal. I take suicide very personal, because even though I might not know that person, I still know what they're going through in that moment. Mm-hmm. In that moment, we feel no one cares and no one understands. And the biggest reason why we don't come to people, our loved ones, our friends, coworkers, is because we feel that we're going to be judged. And see, we already feel worthless. We already feel hopeless. And the last thing we need is a lecture about what we need to be doing, what we should need to be doing. We need real-time help, a caring, listening ear who is not going to judge and help us get through probably the worst day of our lives.
What do you have to say to someone who's listening, who may be feeling that way right now? In other words, they don't want to really say anything to their family, and it's the holidays and the families are feeling good, or they might be dreading being with their family, or they're looking forward to it, but they can't because they're not close to where their family is. What do you say to someone who's listening and feeling the same way you just mentioned?
I always tell people you're not alone. And I know that might sound cliche-ish, but you're really not. There's help out here. And then there's things you can do to help yourself. And number one, being alone isn't the worst thing in the world. And there's so many things now that you can do to help yourself. So mm-hmm. let's say you can't be with your family. You can FaceTime. You can FaceTime friends. Get out. It's beautiful now with the decorations. Like mm-hmm. I was coming home last night from the gym, and right before I got on I-85, I looked to my right and they're just beautiful lit up display. And it's something about color that really gets your brain going. Mm-hmm. So it's just little things you can do. You can go to the mall, you can window shop, and you can do puzzles. You can be, do what else? The coloring,
right? Coloring, painting,
adult coloring books. They are a wonderful, wonderful thing. And even though it might be cold, Chris, one of the best things to do is get out and walk in nature.
Yeah,
let that good vitamin D hit you on the
there
top
you
of that
go.
Head.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to do. Journaling, walking in nature. How about this? You don't have to listen to Christmas music. Put you on some good music and dance.
Yeah, stuff that you like.
If that's what you like, it's all kind of ways to lift your mood. Because I'm telling you, during COVID, when the gym shut down, I'm like, oh my God, my mental health is really going to suffer. Walking helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in nature and doing those kind of things, coloring. And I tell you something else, put on something funny.
Yeah.
We have all these great apps now on our TV. And one of them I love is Pluto, mm-hmm. because they show Andy Griffith,
yep.
Mama's Family, mm-hmm. Laverne and Shirley. A good
all the
laugh
sitcoms. Yeah.
All of those shows, they do you a world of wonder. And even though I've seen some of those shows a million times, it still makes me laugh. So find something funny and put it on. But it's ways that you can help yourself and get through this. You don't have to be, even if you're alone, you're not really alone. And of course, I know we'll talk about numbers that you can call, but take upon yourself to find those things that can make you happy and put a smile on your face. And technology, if you can't be with your family, you can call or you can even FaceTime. So those are some of the ways that you can help yourself.
Let's go ahead and mention those numbers right now. We'll mention them again at the end. But let's tell people where they can reach out just to talk. In other words, someone who will listen to you and what's on your mind if you're feeling that way.
Yes, I know a lot of people think that when you call or text 988, the national suicide hotline number, that people think is for that. It is really not. You can call and just talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good feeling just to be able to vent and let people know how you feel. You also, you know, we're tech savvy. You know, we like to text. We've quit. The art of conversation is dying.
Yeah.
But if you want to text, you can text 988 or call 988, or you can text one word, help, to 741-741. And you can go back and forth and text. Both are confidential. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through the holidays. Now, one of my favorite things is the warm line. And for people who don't know what a warm line is, it's people who usually call it. They're not quite in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not quite suicidal. And if they could just talk to someone, they wouldn't even go down that path. And the great thing about a warm line, it's manned by people like me, peer support,
mm-hmm.
who've been through mental health issues, drugs, alcohol, some of them even been in prison,
mm-hmm.
and they've gotten their life together and they want to turn around and help others. And in Texas, y'all have about three or four. So I'm going to give you the one that I like, and it's called Texas, an ear to listen and a, an ear to listen and a passion to care. And that number is 844-755-4673.
Repeat that one more time.
Sure. It is 844-755-4673. And it's open from Monday through Friday from 12 to 10 p.m. So that's Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. And I'm telling you, I love a warm line because,
mm-hmm.
again, it's manned by people like me who aren't judgmental, that are there to listen and to help if you need the help that you need.
I love that. And I'm so glad you brought up the texting part, too, that people can actually text the 988 number. And the reason I say this is because I have realized through talking to so many kids under the age of 20,
mm-hmm.
they text, like you said, text is taking over the art of conversation. They can text
mm-hmm.
a book. They can text a book to each other, which also leads to misunderstandings. But at the same time, I think it lets people know, OK, it's safe to text. You can text and share your opinions or thoughts with the text to the people who are listening with you on 988, right?
Yes. Yes, and that's a great thing. And they don't have to know who you are.
Right.
Now, the only way where they would find out who you are if you become a danger to yourself or a danger to others. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's like sitting there talking to a friend. Hey, yeah. I'm going through this, and this. And like I read a report that said that when youth are in crisis, pretty much only 5% call. 5% right. call. That's why I said the art of communication is dying. Mm-hmm. The rest text. So I think when they came up with these crisis numbers, they knew that. So they had to say, hey, we're going to allow texting as well. And like I said, a lot of us, if we could just have a conversation, because mm-hmm. let's face it, Chris, sometimes our relatives and friends, they mean well, but they're judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to tell us what to do and what to say. And sometimes we just really need someone who doesn't know us. Not that our family and friends can't help us. Don't
sure, I know
wrong.
What you mean. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes we don't need to hear that in that moment. We just need to get something out, not be judged, and feel better about what we just discussed.
Exactly. You're looking for somebody that's neutral. It's like, okay,
it's
I
neutral.
Can just share yeah. this because they don't know me that well, and therefore they're not going to judge me or say, well, what you really need to do is this. You need to stop doing that and do this. Because that's what
exactly.
sometimes family would do, especially during the holidays.
And they mean well.
And they mean well.
Our family means well. Yeah,
we need, you
but
need some tough love.
It's like a hammer.
Right. And especially when you're, quote unquote, vulnerable mentally. Mentally, mm-hmm. you're vulnerable. And again, a lot of parents, and you don't even have to be that old of a parent. It's just how you were raised and you feel like, well, it's got to be tough love. You got to be mentally stronger than that. Well, guess what? You mm-hmm. would not be in the crisis situation you're in now if there weren't, that wasn't the case. If there weren't, and again, what I love about visiting with you, Fonda, is you always put things in perspective because the kids today have more access to information and social media as opposed to anybody growing up in the 20th century. In the 20th century, you didn't know about every single thing going on around the world. You didn't know real information versus, you know, I always say bots, bullies, and trolls. You don't know what's going on online. If somebody's just trying to trigger you, as they put it, click farming and just trying to be in a conversation. You don't even know if you're talking to somebody that's real. And that's
exactly.
what kids are dealing with today. And that's why I think you're the one that told me the suicide rate. What is it? The leading cause of death of teenagers this year is suicide.
Yes, it is the second leading cause of death for young people 10 to 34. Mm. It is the second leading cause of death for college students. People got college students coming home now.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned from my journey with college students, in September, I always give out the teal and purple ribbons for Suicide Prevention Month at Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk to players, our Wake Forest players, as well as our visiting team players. And it's amazing, Chris, how many of those players and students open up to me. And one of the biggest things that I get from college students is I can't talk to my parents.
Right.
I can't call home because they feel like, hey, it's time for y'all to figure things out. Well, they're not grown.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, Chris, I just turned 65 and I hadn't figured everything out.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you figure for a
right.
20-something, 19-year-old to figure everything out? So I always tell parents when your kids are coming home from college, they might not feel like opening up and telling you everything, but just plant that seed and say, hey, how are things going? How things going at school? How things going? Anything you want to talk about, I'm here. Because once you plant that seed, it will sit inside that child's mind or the young adult's mind. And they say, hey, I can't go and talk to my parents. Hey, I'm not doing that well at school, or I'm worried and all of this stuff. Parents need to always listen to their kids and hear what they're saying. Because if they can't come and talk to you about the small stuff, guess what? They're not going to come and tell you about the big stuff. And that's why we have so many young people attempting suicide and dying by suicide. On college campuses, over 24,000 college students attempt suicide every year. And see these stats that I'm telling you, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
They're underreported. So it's even worse than what I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's underreported because sometimes you got to have some confidentiality for the family, or sometimes the people don't, the police categorize it in a different way because they don't have all the information what led to the death.
Yes. And that's one of the things I always tell people in QPR training, question, persuade, refer, suicide prevention training I do, we talk about self-destructive behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we will never know how many people die by suicide, because people can make a suicide look like an accident. Mm-hmm. Like for me, for instance, when I had suicidal thoughts, I even thought about it. I said, well, you know what? I don't want to hurt somebody in a car. But if I turn my car in front of a tractor trailer, no one would know. Somebody might be accidentally cleaning their gun, mm-hmm. or getting in the car and doing 130 miles an hour down I-85 and crash. And people are like, oh, that's a terrible accident. But it wasn't an accident. Or over the holidays, you know, people don't really realize if you drink enough alcohol, you can die from it because it's alcohol poison.
It is.
Somebody
yeah.
might do that. So it's different things that people can do
to disguise,
like I said,
it.
To hurt
yep.
themselves.
Yep.
And we need to be very aware of it over the holidays and every day.
You know, I want to touch on this briefly because we went into depth on this show about the suicide death of Marshawn Nealon, the Dallas Cowboy player, and they've dedicated the rest of their season to him. And they did all the grief counseling, suicide prevention counseling over there. But I talked to you, and I also talked on this show to his position coach, Greg Ellis, and from the NFL Alumni Association Dallas chapter, Byron Williams. We talked about all these different things and about how the Alumni Association is there for professional athletes. Can you talk about, in general, professional athletes, or even touch a little bit on the Marshawn Nealon situation, about what went through your mind when you first heard about it and you saw the signs that were there? And again, I don't want you to be all preachy and all like that, but it's because at the same time, a lot of people are aware of what happened with him, and it made them even more aware that it could happen within their own family or amongst their friends. And in mm-hmm. other words, there's always this leap to conclusion at first, a leap to assumption. What was he running from? What happened at his house? How come the police were chasing him? That had nothing to do with anything. He was running away from his fears. And
yes.
And so I know you can elaborate on it a little bit better, but can you talk about what were you thinking about that time and how you've also counseled NFL players and former NFL players yourself?
Yeah, it broke my heart. Like I said, anytime someone dies by suicide, it does, because I know what they're thinking. Like I said, I might not know people who die by suicide, but I know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, like I said before, we feel like no one cares, no one understands, and we feel like we're going to be judged. And even though it's not true, but that's what our mind is telling us, because it's not well. And so when he passed away and credible information started coming out about his last moments, he was saying some of the exact stuff that I talk about in QPR training.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was, I'm going to end it all. I think his fiance had said that he had said after his mom passed away,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to end it all. That is a warning sign right there. And see, a lot of times people dismiss that like, oh, you know, they're not going to do anything. But you have to take all signs seriously. Another thing that he did that was very also in QPR training, he called and said his goodbyes. He called and said mm-hmm. his goodbyes. And I think a lot of times people just are caught off guard. And I always tell people, don't beat yourself up. Once you know better, you can do better. But in QPR training, which I had my last one this month, I told people, I said, y'all, if somebody walks up to you or calls you and says, I love you, thank you for being so kind to me, I'll never forget you, this is goodbye. You don't let them walk off.
Mm-hmm.
You ask them straight out. Are you going to kill yourself? Are you thinking about suicide? And the thing is, because I think a lot of times people want to help us, but they're afraid they're going to do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. And another thing, too, they're afraid they're going to make us mad. They're going, oh, I'm going to lose their friendship. I'm going to lose their love. Well, mm-hmm. you know, you got two choices to help us. You can help us. And yeah, we might get mad at you, might not ever speak to you again, but we're alive. Or you can do nothing and live with the why pain. And again, I'm not beating people up for not knowing the signs, but that's why it's so important to know the signs. In QPR training, it says the more clues and signs observed, the greater the risk. And we're not all flailing our arms saying, oh my God, I'm gonna kill myself. It can be something very, very subtle. And also too, Chris, we have to take culture into account. and the fact that he was a man, mm-hmm. and the fact that he, you know, he was Black, he was a man, he was an athlete. That's three things that don't go well a lot of times when you're trying to help somebody who's struggling with a mental health condition.
Because you got to have the position of, I'm strong, I can handle things.
Exactly, because in our culture, in the mm-hmm. Black culture, it's pray about it, don't claim it, give it to God, it's a sign of weakness. Hispanic culture, Asian culture, Polynesian, we've all been raised the same. It's a sign of weakness. Then you throw in somebody playing football and he was a big fella. Then to me, you know, it's like I tell people all the time, there is a process to get Black people and people of color to go to therapy. It's not a given just because you say, hey, you need to go to therapy. Because first off, we as Black people have come from generational trauma, mm-hmm. and we're also a culture of secrets. Do you know, I heard Steve Smith saying the other day, who used to play for the Carolina Panthers and the mm-hmm. Baltimore Ravens, he said, I grew up old school. He said, we don't tell our business outside of our household. And see, that's what's still going on in 2025. Mm-hmm. A lot of Black people say, hey, I'm not going to talk to somebody. That's telling my business. So I have helped student athletes, especially football players, because I have a soft heart for them because my son played college football right. and was a big offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea Wesley was struggling with anxiety. But once I found out, of course, he went to go get help. But once I found out, I said, you know something? I've been sitting up looking at these players as big, strong, and fast when I should be looking at them as how many of them are struggling, how many of them are smoking and drinking, self-medicating, right. how many of them are getting in trouble, because that's what that behavior comes to. It's not just about if we don't take care of our mental health that we are going to die by suicide. That's the ultimate. But there are other things, Chris, poor decisions, bad judgment, incarceration. Our jails and prisons are full of people with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And of course, self-medicating. And self-medicating doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol, because Marshawn did none.
Right.
But there are the things. It's sex, it's pornography, it's gambling, excessive eating, excessive shopping. And even though that is, all that stuff is legal per se, it can still get you in a lot of trouble and still ruin your life.
Yeah. And again, it's those things like that, when you talk about self-medication, what you're doing is trying to take your mind off of what you're mm-hmm. overthinking about, which is
yes.
your mental wellness. You're overthinking
exactly.
something. And that's why I like going back to what you said when you first started off about just having some structure. And especially mm-hmm. during the holidays, you want to kind of maintain some things that you do. And then at some point, you really want to have a purpose in your life. You want to have a purpose-driven life, and therefore you feel fulfilled. And I think
yes.
for a lot of people, it's about helping others some kind of way that actually makes
yes.
them feel better. And that's some sort of mental therapy as well. Am I wrong?
Yes, very much so. Because, you know, I always tell people when I'm training or when I'm helping someone, I said, I want you to have a imaginary mental health toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
What do you put in your imaginary mental health toolbox? Now, we all are going to have different things, and we might have some of the same things. Like for me, in my imaginary mental health toolbox, working out is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Coloring, spending time with family. I love baking. I found out that baking is, and one of the biggest things, of course, outside of working out is volunteering. And that came about my last serious time that I thought about taking my life. And when my son gave me that kick in the pants, I went to go see my therapist, and I joined NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And it is a great organization.
Yes.
It is national. It breaks down to state. Every state has a NAMI. NAMI Texas, NAMI California, NAMI North Carolina. Then it breaks down to affiliates. NAMI Dallas, NAMI Austin. And the thing is about NAMI, Chris, everything they do is free of charge, from support groups to classes. And that's something else people can do. If you're lonely, reach out to a support group on NAMI.
Yeah.
And they have a website, NAMI Texas. They have a website. They have really great resources. And the thing is, you can become a volunteer. And that was one of the first things I did. I became a volunteer with NAMI Charlotte. Then I got appointed to the state board of NAMI North Carolina. And then from there, I got reelected. And see, the people with NAMI, for the most part, we're volunteers, and we're in a better place now. So we're turning around and helping others. So volunteering, and during the holidays, you can also get out, go help feed the homeless.
Yes.
Go help do something, because
sure.
that is a very rewarding thing.
Mm-hmm. It makes you feel good when you reach out.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It does.
And
also,
mm-hmm. go ahead.
Yeah, Oh, and I was going to say, because none of us are immune to homelessness and none of us are immune to a mental health condition. Exactly. Any of us could be out there. So going around and turning around and pulling somebody else up, feeding them, helping them, that's a wonderful feeling. And that's something you can do as well.
Exactly. And you know what? If you have kids, you can bring your kids along and they can also learn about helping others. In fact, you can ask your kids about people or kids in their school classrooms or whoever, how they can help give back. I mean, it's the little things like that. And as you mentioned, painting, doing pictures, just being, even walking around the mall. People don't even go to the mall anymore, but you could go around the mall and you don't even have to be a shopper. Just observe all the other people and look at the line to see Santa. Those little things like that can make you feel good.
Yes, because I'm going to tell you one of my favorite things to do on Friday night when I'm by myself, I will go out to our mall in Concord. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And I'll go walk around for a little bit. I might get me some pretzels.
That's those steps you're getting in. You're getting your steps in too.
Exactly. And then I'll go get me something to eat because I love watching people. Mm-hmm. And I just sit there. And it's okay because, see, what happened is, Chris, I'm 65, so I was born in 1960. Mm-hmm. It used to be, it was such a, songs were made about being alone and being lonely, like it was some plague or something. There is nothing wrong with being by yourself.
Exactly. There's being alone is not being lonely. Give me those numbers again and tell people where they can find out about QPR training while you're at.
All righty. All right. So let's go through first 988. That is a national crisis text number. You do not have to be suicidal. You can just be having a crappy day and want to talk to somebody. That number is 988, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call or text. You don't have to give your name. And the only reason why they will ask for that is if you become a danger to yourself or a danger to others. You can also text HELP to the National Crisis text number. That number is, you text one word, HELP, to 741-741. It's all confident. And in Texas, like I said, one of my favorite things is a warm line, which is manned by people like me, peer support, non-judgmental, and it's called An Ear to Listen and a Passion to Care. And that number is 844-755-4673. It's from Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's Central Time. So that's Central Time. And for me, if you would like to take my next QPR question, persuade, refer, suicide prevention training, 2 hours long, free of charge, online in January, which I haven't picked my date, you're welcome to email me at Fonda, FONDANC, _ 40 at yahoo.com. Or you can reach out to me on Facebook as Fonda Bryant and Instagram and Twitter, Proud Mom 72. And you can reach out to me about anything. I'm here to help.
And Fonda, we're so glad you're to help us all. Happy holidays. And thank you for being on the show.
Happy holidays to you. And thank you for having me, and stay warm.
Most definitely. Thank you all for joining us at Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.